The promise of secularism, or viewing life, living life without God, or the consideration of God, brings bondage. It brings a harshness, brings regressive policies, and ultimately consummates in misery or persecution. It really does. That's the history of the nations that have espoused a godless view of life and government. Well, God predicted it. History proves it. And millions around the world today suffer as a direct result of it. So rather than a cure for religious differences, as they would say, secularism is more accurately a deadly cancer. Well, in this final segment, I'd like to compare and contrast the major principles of secularism to the major biblical principles of true freedom. Do it kind of like this. You've got a stool with three legs on it. We're going to have David New right now define the three legs of the stool of secularism. And then I'm going to have David and Dave and Gary then come back and compare contrast the biblical corresponding principle with those principles of secularism so you can see the differences that remain. So David New, let me go ask you right now, delineate for us the three core principles upon which sits that stool or that chair, whatever you're going to say, of the concept of modern secularism. What are they?
For modern secularism, the one that the Supreme Court uses, they are these three. Number one, the theory of evolution. That the theory of evolution explains the origin of the universe. And therefore, that leads to number two. God is outdated. God is not necessary for good government. Number three, since God is not necessary for good government, that leads to number three. Religion is bad. Religion is negative. Religion is divisive. Those are the three core principles of modern secularism. I want to briefly read a quote. I was going to read a quote from a court in 1883 that explains how religion and government work together, if you want me to read it.
Okay, if we have time, do that when you have you answer the last question about religion is bad, okay? Gary, let me go to you first here right off. And you heard what David said. The theory of evolution is the primary core of secularism. Compare and contrast that with a biblical worldview as held by our founders and the writers of our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Isn't it interesting, Sam, that it's still a theory of evolution after nearly 200 years of time? It's not looked at as a fact officially. It's still called the theory of evolution. But the contrasting principle is the fact upon which the Bible is based. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God." Now, if you follow secularism and evolution, evolution and secularism puts man in the center of the universe, whereas the Bible puts God in the center of the universe. And our founders understood that. That's why they made statements such as, "This nation could not be built with God out of the picture." The problem is, in recent years, there has been a great emphasis, a great effort to put God out of the picture and man in the center. That's the contrast.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, evolution says there is no God. In the beginning of Genesis, in the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God." Okay, huge contrast. Dave Kistler, let me go to you. You heard it's in the second point, God is not needed. He's outdated under the concept of secularism. Compare and contrast that to Scripture.
Well, what David said is God is not needed in government. That's really the principle, and that's easily addressed, Sam, in Romans 13, where the Scripture says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers or the higher authorities, for the powers that be or the authorities that exist are ordained of God." And then in verse 4 of the same chapter, it says that the governmental authorities are ministers of God. Twice in verse 4, the governmental leaders are referred to as ministers of God. And then in verse 6, it says, "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers." So this aspect that government is to be devoid of God, separated completely from God, God is to have no involvement whatsoever, Sam, is completely contrary to what the scripture teaches. Government is God's institution, so obviously he is interested in it and should be intimately involved in it.
All right, very clear. David New, let me go back to you now, and you cited the three. You cited number three as religion is bad. Define religion so we understand what we're talking about, and then compare and contrast that to what Scripture says.
Well, Jefferson defined religion as our duty to our Creator. Here's a good quote by the Supreme Court of Illinois in 1883. It said, "The legislature is absolutely powerless to enforce religious doctrines or beliefs." So the government can't make you believe anything you don't want to. It's none of the government's business. Now it goes on, however. It may be that in suppressing crime, vice, immorality, it may incidentally enforce religious doctrines. The Christian religion forbids all crime, vice, and immorality, and good government equally requires their suppression. They are suppressed by the government because required for the general welfare and not because they are religious doctrines. What do they say? Supposing the legislature was just filled with Gary Dulles and David Kistlers, and they read Exodus 20, and it says, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder." And so they got together, and they voted, and they passed a law saying, you cannot murder. Now, the believers, the Christians, will not murder for two reasons. Number one, because of the Ten Commandments, and number two, because the government said you can't do it. The unbeliever, he still must obey that law, even though it was religiously motivated, but he only does it for the second reason. He doesn't do it because he believes in the Ten Commandments, but he must do it because the government said he had to. That's the difference. That's how government and religion relate to one another. Mm-hmm. And yet, the religious freedom, the person who does not want to believe in God still has it, but still must obey laws that are influenced by religion.
David New, that is excellent, excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just draw one more connection here. As our founders here in Pennsylvania, which is where I'm sitting and Gary Dole is sitting here right now, our William Penn and other founders made it very clear that our experiment in self-government, meaning the opposite of secularism as modern day dictatorships and so forth, could only exist if the people understood God's word and limited their actions according to the Ten Commandments of God, God's moral law. That's the underpinning. So when you take God out, Charles Darwin, from our laws, you have a government that cannot be just. People don't know the law, and they ultimately will become spurners and individuals that will reject law because they've rejected who God is.